Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. We're excited about the show coming up in Clearwater at the Capitol Theater. It's going to be May 15th, and it's celebrating the 20th anniversary of, I would say, your most commercially successful venture to date. Not to say that there won't be another one, but Throwing Copper. It's you. Are you doing it acoustically?
Yeah, it's a really cool show, actually. We've been out with it now since the beginning of the year, and it gets better and better. I'm out with my guitar player, Zach Loy. So, it's technically an acoustic show, but it's like to say that it doesn't really capture exactly what we're doing on stage. I have a screen that I'm bringing with me that we're doing projection visuals for the entire show. We play the Throwing Copper record from 1 to 14, and then we do kind of like a super set or whatever at the end. It gets to some other hits of my work in live and my solo stuff. But overall, it's like it's amazing. I mean, Zach Loy, my guitarist, plays lap steel. He plays mandolin. He plays electric, of course. And then there's some other production and stuff that I'm generating on stage along with the visuals that make it for a show that people are just really feeling like it's really unique. It's not, of course, it's more stripped than a full band approach, but it has so much else going on that there's really no lack of energy there, you know? And so I'm having a blast doing the show. It's really unique.
Awesome. We're speaking with Ed Kowalczyk coming to the Capitol Theater in Clearwater May 15th, 2015. Now, I'm not going to be one of those radio guys who tries to dig up all this controversy and get you to say something incendiary so we can put it out there. However, I would like for you to weigh in. It's got to be so damn frustrating as a guy who grew up with some bandmates, probably went through good times and bad times with them, had some discord and split up. But for them to use the name Live, in my opinion, and I don't know if you share this or not, it's disingenuous to the fan who may not know what happened to the original Live. And if I'm a guy who doesn't know much about music and I want to go see a band that I kind of grew up with and they're coming to town and I think, well, God, that's got to be the same Live that I loved with Mental Jewelry and Throwing Copper and all that. Right. And then I go there and it's some other, I don't want to say schmuck, but some other dude singing the songs, singing the songs that you brought to life, that you owned, that you put your signature on. As a performer, man, does that drive you absolutely batty?
Well, I was talking to the guys in Old 97s down in Mexico in January, and they had, you know, popped in and thought it was going to be the real band, and it wasn't. And my reply to that was, I guess if you live long enough, you're lucky enough to have a long enough career, you see your original band turn into a cover band. It's just a shame. You nailed it, though. The fans deserve the real thing, you know, and I don't have any control over it. I'm moving on with some of the, you know, I really think some of the best shows and best tunes that I've done in my career. I'm having a full-blown, you know, energy renaissance in my life for music, and I really couldn't be any happier, and my experience is so full. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the fans deserve the authentic original band, or don't call it that, you know.
Yeah.
But
But that's them, and like you said, and like you alluded to, living well is truly the best revenge. And you're a happy guy now, and you get to play your music. It just sucks to think about the legions of fans who would see, oh my God, Live is playing at my local thing. We got to go see this, and then it's like a karaoke thing where it's got a decent enough backing band, but then you're like, this guy is not Ed Kowalczyk, he's not Daughtry, he's not even anything close to what would be a reasonable facsimile, you know.
Speaking of Daughtry, I just. He popped into my hometown, Richfield, Connecticut, two nights ago and played at the Richfield Playhouse, a great venue there. And he's actually doing a stripped little run of four acoustic shows, and got to jump up on stage with him and sing a song together. So I hadn't seen him for a couple of years, so that was really fun.
Nice. And yeah, there was a cool little controversy there because when he was on American Idol, he did an interpretation of a song that you guys had done. And then he kind of went on Howard Stern's show and said, yeah, I admit it. I kind of stole Live's interpretation of that song. But instead of being a dick about it, you were kind of like, all right, dude, we get it. And now we can be friends.
Well, you know, I think that everybody's a fan of somebody. You know what I mean? We're all inspired and influenced by someone or some artist that makes it just makes us want to do it ourselves. And you know, back in the day, especially in the early 90s and first couple of Live records, you know, I used to get the Michael Stipe thing all the time, and I was happy to hear it because he is such a huge influence on me. It was a natural thing, and I think that was what was with Chris. It was just, he's just really such a huge fan that, you know, it he's been so influenced by it that there's that crossover, which is fine. I mean, that's what it's all about. And yeah, we became really good friends after that, and played on the show with him. And I've, of course, stayed in touch pretty regularly for the last 6 years with him. He's a great guy, an amazing singer, and yeah, we had a lot of fun the other night.
That's great. We're speaking with Ed Kowalczyk, coming to the Capitol Theater May 15th. Have you, now, I'm sure you've met Michael Stipe, right? Like, growing up, idolizing a guy, listening to the early days, Life Ritz Pageant and Fables of the Reconstruction and Murmur and all that stuff like I did. What was it like for you the first time that you get to meet a dude like that?
Oh, I was just starstruck, just totally. But I don't even remember if I said anything coherent. I don't think I can make a sentence. I was just so blown away. But yeah, we became friends, and I actually sang with R.E.M. At Hershey Stadium. Speaking of Life Search Pageant, we sang Begin to Begin together. And I just couldn't believe I was on stage with R.E.M. It was just amazing. And I've actually become good buddies with Peter Buck over the last few years. I mentioned, being down in Mexico. In January, he does a little festival down there in Todos Santos that helps the schools down there and the kids down there. And so it's a really great time. And he played on my last record, The Flood and the Mercy, my last solo album. So become good buddies with another hero of mine. This has been a pretty dream come true.
Look at you, man, living the life. I have an opinion about Mental Jewelry, your initial effort as the band live. I was working in college radio at the time, and we got it, and Operation Spirit and The Beauty of Grey and all that. I think that it was a little bit ahead of its time, like just one click ahead of the alternative rock commercial revolution. Had that album come out maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years later, I think it would have gone way higher. I think it peaked at like number 73 on Billboard's chart. A couple of years later, and you're looking at least five hit singles from that album and probably triple or quadruple platinum. Would you agree with that observation?
I agree with the record being, a real step out for lyrically for me. Just everything that was going on there at the time was, as much as it was part of the alternative rock kind of thing, it did come out in 91, 92. So it was pretty early. Mm-hmm. And I think it established us with our fans, as being a band that, and my lyrics as being something that you weren't going to hear every day, that there was going to be a perspective that was going to be different. And I think it really paved the way for Throwing Copper, and it paved the way for, well, really the rest of my career. And now, just people remaining interested in the lyric and interested in the story and the meaning, and really growing with the music. The fact that people still want to hear those songs all the time. I'm getting requests all the time for Mental Jewelry as much as the other albums. So that feels really good, because I was like 19 when I wrote a bunch of those songs. So.
Wow. And yeah, those lyrics do really resonate, because still I'm friggin' 45 years old now, and I find myself still thinking about that. Heard a lot of talk about this Jesus, blah, 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 but what a man was 2,000 years ago doesn't mean that much to me today. And, for a guy like me who's still spiritually confused at this point in life, you latch onto something like that and you go, wow, there's someone else who sees things the same way I do. And I think it speaks to the depth of your songwriting and your ability to connect with people maybe going through the same thing.
Absolutely. I think that, when you're on a journey, whether you're a musician that's in the public eye or not, when everybody's on a spiritual journey, whether, whatever their faith, whatever their background, everybody's searching. And I think, just music gives you a way to sort of do that in public, do that with a spotlight on your particular perspective. And it's a really beautiful feeling when you find that resonates with so many thousands of people all over the world in the same way. Like people say, oh man, that's what I've been thinking, and you said it, And so it's a great thing to be able to just do your own thing, have your perspective, and have people, align with it and grow with it and continue to be so interested in it.
Boy, I tell you, you just spoke to exactly what I love about having a talk radio program, because I don't ever think about the impact that my words might have. But just like you said, when you meet fans, when you meet people who bring up things that you talk about and you have these shared experiences because of you speaking your mind, it is immensely validating, and it does give you a sense of purpose. We're speaking with Ed Kowalczyk, formerly of Live, playing the music of Throwing Copper on the 20th anniversary of it, May 15th at the Capitol Theater. I will let you go, however, a couple quick questions. Number one, were you in the film Fight Club?
I was in Fight Club, yeah. I was actually a principal actor.
That is
crazy. I actually
spoke.
But if you blink or go to the bathroom, at any point about halfway through the movie, you will probably miss me. But yeah, I'm a waiter in the scene with Helena Bonham Carter and Ed Norton. And I recommend Against the Clam Chowder. That's my the highlight of mine.
Do you get a lot of people who shout that line at you when they see you?
Oh, yeah, I used to, especially when it first came out. And now it's just so funny because I was sitting around on iTunes the other night, and it's still like, you know, indie noteworthy, you know, top 10 movie. And it's just funny because, you know, I did it as really a kind of off the cuff thing. You know, I had just moved to Hollywood and I was living in the Hollywood Hills after growing up on the East Coast. And almost as a joke, I said to a friend of mine, this guy Sean, who was a up and coming agent at the time, I said, you know, I'm in Hollywood now, you should put me in a movie. And you know, half jokingly, and he actually sent me the Fight Club script, and I said, this is amazing. And then turned out David Fincher was a big fan, and yeah, he put me in it, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the process watching. I'd never been a part of anything like that, and to experience their craft and get to be a fly on their wall was pretty fun.
Yeah, and going down to Craft Services and breaking bread with Brad Pitt, Eddie Norton, Jared Leto, and Helena Bonham Carter, that probably must not have sucked, huh?
Yeah, there's some good ones in that, definitely, for sure.
Fantastic film. All right, Ed Kowalczyk, would you do anything differently if you could go back in time and tweak anything? I'm a big believer in the universe puts us where we are for a reason. However, given everything that you've been through, would you do anything differently involving your career path?
I might have done a few things different with my hair over the years, but other than that, you know, I had some pretty radical hair choices that I would love a chance to redo, but not going to mention the Eye Alone video. No,
right.
I'm okay with it, but no, I don't really have anything. Yeah. I agree with the first part of what you said. You know, I think that, life happens the way it happens, and it puts you in a place in places that, even though you might not have projected that that's where you wanted to be or would be, for some reason, it's perfect. You know, it's just perfect the way it all rolls out, and you know, better to just you know, kind of go with that and not overthink it, because it's just you never know what's life's going to bring you, and a lot of times, you know, there's just there's blessings in all kinds of disguises waiting, and you can't judge it too much. Just got to go with it.
No doubt about it. You hold the distinction of using the word placenta for probably the only time in rock and roll history in the song "Lightning Crashes." I'm sure that's a designation you hang your hat on,
and probably forever in the future.
No one's ever going to write a song with placenta in it ever again, huh?
No, I own that.
You do own that. You alone own the word placenta. Well, man,
I own that, and I think I'm pretty sure I own the hairstyle in the Eye Alone video. I don't think anyone can ever do that.
Well, man, I look forward to seeing you when you come to town, man. I really appreciate the time, dude. It's Ed Kowalczyk. He'll be celebrating the 20th anniversary of Throwing Copper at the Capitol Theater on May 15th. Continued success to you, man. I'm really, really proud of you. You're a good dude, and we look forward to seeing you in Clearwater in a couple weeks.
Thank you so much, Drew. Look forward to it.
Back at you, man. Take care.
See you, buddy.
Bye.